I saw a TikTok of a girl that used Udio to create an entire playlist of songs all about her brother for her brother's graduation party. So it was just on loop for hours, song after song after song.
Wow.
Specifically talking about her brother, like using his name. And she said he never noticed. It's like, that's a typical guy. Like, that's me. That's me right there. But like, we'd leave the event and my wife would be like, did you notice that song that was about you and how you always wear a hat? And I'd be like, what are you talking about? I have no concept whatsoever. So.
Wait, you didn't notice the songs that I had on when you guys were over?
I didn't notice. All right. Kick us off, Sanjay. Let's go. Let's do it.
Okay. But it's episode 333. You're starting.
Oh, dang it.
Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hey, and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all, episode 333. I'm Adam Walker.
And I'm Sanjay Park. In case you all never realized, Adam always starts the episodes that are odd, and I always start the episodes that are even.
But apparently I also forget when I start the episodes that are odd. Like, that's the, like, I just totally forget. So there you go. But
And you also didn't decide to live inject music this time either.
No, I'm not going to worry about that. I'll edit in it later. So.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. We've got a shorter episode for you, theoretically. Simply because we recorded last week late in the week and we're recording this week early in the week. So we'll sort of see how this goes. I think we have some good articles though. So don't leave. Definitely have a good, weird,
don't,
and wacky.
Don't leave. And, don't leave.
Yeah, don't leave. And of course, Tech Recs at the end. I've got a good Tech Rec for your summer enjoyment for you. So, let's start this off. You ready for this?
Yeah, let's start this. I'll start. Lithium free sodium batteries exit the lab and enter US production. So this is kind of huge news.
Huge.
So news. this is using sodium instead of lithium, better capacity.
500 times to 1,000 times more abundant than lithium, according to the article.
Right.
Right.
It doesn't degrade quite like lithium.
Isn't volatile, so it's not going to catch on fire and burn forever. Right.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of things not spontaneously combusting.
Me too. Me too.
And you'll be able to recharge these things faster. Now, it's all rainbows and ponies up until now. Here's the downside. The first place they're going to start selling these into are data centers. So you are not going to get these into your hands.
True. Just but yet. Aren't they less capacity too? Like for the size? I think they're slightly less capacity also.
Right now they are. But again,
they can recharge faster. So theoretically, like if they, 5 years down the road come to your phone, maybe it's a little less, time,
capacity,
but it recharges in 5 minutes or something like that.
And then you don't have to worry about it, losing capacity over time as much.
Yeah.
And so then, charge it whenever you want, right? Like don't think about waiting till it's down to 5% and charging it. Just charge it.
And all the materials that make this battery are far more abundant in general,
right?
And the lithium ion batteries as well. So it'll be easier to produce. And I think the article was also saying that theoretically, you could produce it with all raw materials from the U.S., so we wouldn't have to even deal with global trade necessarily in producing these batteries.
Right. I mean, there's like a pretty big source of sodium out there. It's called the ocean. You can just get it from that.
Wait, do we have access to this to the ocean?
We do. Not in Atlanta, but nearby. Nearby-ish.
That's good. Access-ish. Access light.
But we do have the world's largest, I think it's the world's largest aquarium, right? Or at least the U.S.
It's a very large aquarium.
They can
build some batteries from the...
Best place to put it is in a landlocked city.
All right. Next up, world's first tooth regrowth medicine to be tested in Japan from September 2024. I thought we talked about this before, like tooth regrowth at some point, right?
We talked about it a while ago, but now they're actually going to do it on humans.
Right.
And actually try to start growing teeth, which is crazy.
Teeth did not exist. I think it's in humans that are missing a specific number of teeth and specifically teeth in the back of their mouth, right?
Right. You're right. It's congenitally, like they didn't have these teeth and so they're growing, but you know where this is going. They're going to start with them, figure out stuff, learn stuff. And then for people that lose teeth, it'll be like, oh, you don't have an adult tooth. We'll grow that back for you.
Yeah. I want to know when they're going to start like regrowing fingers. Like in all seriousness, it's not that far fetched at that point, right?
No, you're right. I mean, we have it on science fiction shows. What are you waiting for, science? I mean,
to your point there, like it feels like almost everything that we have on science fiction shows ultimately does become real. Like so right. much of like 1970s Star Trek, like we live in it right now, you know? Like
right, exactly.
It's wild to me. And so like, I love science fiction for that very reason. It's just like, well, let's just see what's coming. It's going to be great.
I mean, yeah. Pull out your little square thing and push some buttons and talk to people all of a sudden. Like
yeah.
in the 70s, that was like, oh, that's just fantastical. That's not ever going to happen.
Or like Star Trek Next Generation, you know, I always remember Picard. He's sitting there, he's looking at this tiny little tablet and like, that's his book, is this one little flat right. object. And it's like, there's no book on that. And it's like, no, there is now. I got a bunch of books on mine. It's amazing. It's like, it's right here next to me. There's like so many books on this bad boy. Like, oh my gosh, like what in the world? So it's so crazy.
Yeah. Man. So if you want to know what the future is going to look like, just watch some science fiction movies. Hopefully yeah. it doesn't all turn out like Blade Runner and we have replicants. Listen, and
speaking of science like that, fiction, this next one, I got some questions.
Yeah. Washed Out's new music video was created with AI. Is it a watershed moment for Sora? So we talked about Sora before. The, who's
Short
it from?
Videos.
The Open AI, right?
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
the
yeah.
same people. Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you watch the video?
Oh yeah. It's wild.
It's a lot of running.
It's a lot of running and like, okay. So I have so many thoughts, right? So the first is, yeah. They didn't do a lot of like really close-up stuff on the humans in the video. It was all
right,
like, so, like
right.
them, but like behind the humans, sort of like zooming in on them. So I think you get away with a lot that way.
Yeah.
Some of the shots they produced though would have been so profoundly expensive to yep. produce. I mean, just absurdly expensive to produce in real life. Like right. weird stuff. Like where there was one scene where it's like 50 of the same sofas lined up outside with each other. And like you'd have to buy 50 of the same sofas and line them up and do this crazy zoom shot and like all this
right.
stuff.
Right. Anyway, or when they're going through like the vehicles
yeah.
that should only be a couple of seats, but that are much longer, yeah. many more yeah. seats. Like,
yeah.
I was thinking about that. Like, how do you build that in real life? Like, that's a huge set to build.
It's a huge set.
Just for a, like a 15-second shot.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It was, and I mean, I will say like, it was wild. Like it was, I felt, mm-hmm. it almost felt like I would imagine tripping on drugs feels. Like that's kind of how the video felt a little bit. And it was, also, did you notice that the band is out of Macon, Georgia? So like tech,
yeah.
you know, props to the y'all there.
Yeah.
Down. Close to Atlanta-ish. So that's kind of
right,
cool.
Right.
So
the much greater Atlanta area. It's like yeah. the, what was that movie? Was it Running Man? Demolition Man when,
oh, okay.
When he wakes up and it's the San Los Angeles Megaplex or something
yeah,
like
that.
Yeah,
that's about right. Yeah, it's the Atlanta Megaplex. Is that
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's the Atlanta Megaplex.
I do wonder like what the prompts looked like for this.
Right.
And I also wonder how they got the uniformity of the humans to be similar across every shot. Like, so if you notice like the woman's hair
right.
in every scene was the same. It's like, yeah. how did they make sure, did they feedback an image or like a clip from the previous one? I'd really like to see a behind the scenes of like how this was created, how much time it took.
How long of a script it actually is and how much detail has to go into it. Because
no.
I don't think we're at the point of where it's like, hey, just create me a music video.
No,
I think yeah. it's probably just a lot of detail. And I, you know, who knows how many hours it took somebody to write all that generate that thing.
My guess is every scene was independently generated and then stitched together.
Oh.
And that every scene was probably like a very, very large document. Like that's
right.
my assumption based on just my interactions with OpenAI in general. So,
right.
Right. Yeah, we'll see, but hopefully we'll find out one of these days.
Yeah.
Next up, Florida becomes first state to ban the sale of lab-grown meat. Apparently there's a pretty big like cattle farming in Florida, and they just you know want to protect their interests there and don't want lab-grown meat. And okay, I don't know how I feel about, I know how you feel about lab-grown meat. You're not eating any meat anyway, so it doesn't matter
right.
either way.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like it's going to be a while before I'm ready for lab grown meat, but just me personally, like it doesn't
yeah.
feel like something I'm personally ready for. So I'm not sure that this feels a little early to me is all I'm saying.
Do you think about that when you're eating fruits and vegetables that might have had lab grown stuff? Like,
you know,
what's the divide
that's
here?
That's yeah. a really interesting question. No, not really. Because lab grown, I mean, like, you know, like I think of like hydroponics, right? Like hydroponics grown inside, like you're still growing the tomato or whatever it is.
Right.
it's still growing, quote unquote, the way it would normally grow. Lab-grown meat, I mean, I guess maybe it is on a cellular level. It just feels different somehow.
I mean, I don't know. Because it's not grown inside of a animal, and it's grown inside of a dish.
What's funny to me is, like, I almost feel like I'd be more comfortable with, like, a lab-grown kidney in, like a kidney swap. Like, that to me would almost feel more normal than, like, eating... I mean, I know it's, like, that's so bizarre to say something like that, but, like, that's almost how it feels to me.
Well, like, what do you mean, like, growing an organ and putting it inside of a person? I mean, they've been working on that, right? We've talked about that before. That
feels to me less... scary somehow. I don't know. Like, that makes no sense at all.
Because it's not going, like, in your mouth and it's going inside your body.
Yes. That's what it is. Like, I don't know what it is. It just feels something about it, man. It feels weird to me. I don't know. So, but then I'm also not a big fan of, like, those, like, the fake meat burgers either. Like, that also feels weird to me. Like, the Beyond Beef. I'm like, if I want beef, I'm just going to eat beef. And if I want, like, a veggie burger, I'm just going to eat a bean burger. Like, I like a bean. Like, there's nothing wrong with a good bean burger.
Like, I like a good bean burger. They're good. Like, I won't do the impossible
thing. I don't know why you would want to. Like, for you in particular, like, for a vegetarian, it'd be like, that is disgusting. And, like, I kind of feel like it's almost disgusting as a meat eater. Like it's like... It's kind of borderline.
It's an interesting spot that they're trying to be in. They're trying to be in this, like, hey, we know you eat meat, but eat this instead and maybe transition you to eating less meat or I don't know. But it's not even that healthy either, right? No, like, it's loaded up on sodium and other stuff. And it's like, this is not
Batteries you could make. Think of all the batteries you could make.
Exactly. So. Yeah, from your burger. Frontier buyers sign a $58.3 million in offtake agreements with Vaunted Deep. And I got to admit, I didn't read this article, so you'd have to...
What was interesting to me is, like, so Vaunted Deep, I tagged it because I didn't know this existed. So basically they exist to... So normally, like, they capture CO2, it gets captured in, like, some organic compound. That organic compound ends up getting burned or put into a trash pile, and then it eventually gets released back into the atmosphere. So the CO2 goes back in the atmosphere.
Right.
That's contributing to global warming, all that. Apparently, what Vaunted Deep does is they take this organic fortified CO2 compound, they make it into a slurry, and then they store it underground forever so that it never gets released back into the atmosphere. So they're going to store... an insane amount of this apparently over the next several years for this $58 million. And the article is basically saying, like, this could essentially help to offset carbon emissions, like this approach. Well, I mean, to me, the question becomes, like, how much storage is there underground, right? Like, how long can you really do this viably? But it's an interesting idea. Like, I've just never considered, like, well, let's just take all the CO2 we're producing and just store it in the earth. Like, maybe, but it feels like there should be, like, some kind of backlash to that.
That's where we're getting it from in the first place, right? Like, the oil is coming out of the ground.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. It's and that, you're just pumping it back in. Put in some oil, some old oil wells. That could work.
Right. You know? I mean, and that comes from dinosaurs and stuff decomposing.
You're right.
That's where oil comes from. So we're just replacing it.
Yeah. Maybe that works. I mean, I just thought it was a fascinating solution. I've never heard of it before. I thought our listeners should know about it.
Yeah. So. I think the place where, like, you're pointing to that it might not work is if the thing that we're putting in is not of the same carbon density as the thing that we're pulling out.
Right.
Then we're going to end up with, like, extra and be like, okay, where do we put this now?
What do we do now? Yeah. But I think we're a long way off from that. So
speaking
of things that may still be a long way off, Boeing is on the verge of launching astronauts aboard new capsule, the latest entry to space travel. And then the next article, officials describe telltale quote buzz that led to last minute scrub of Boeing Starliner's crewed launch, or crude launch, not crude, like crude with a crew. So many thoughts.
Did they not have the doors bolted on? Is that what the problem was?
Like, so many thoughts. Like what? I really want to know what the astronauts are thinking. Like, that's really what I want to know. Like, when you think, like, hey, I'm like, right now, I don't really want to get on a Boeing. Like, Boeing makes me a little nervous. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. And, like, this is Boeing's, like they've done, like, I think they've done two test flights. I believe one of them didn't go well. And now they're going to do a crewed launch after two test flights. And apparently they've had a decade contract with NASA for like 50, I don't even know how many billion dollars to do this. And like SpaceX, got to work and got stuff going a lot faster than Boeing did. Boeing's way late. So SpaceX and Boeing got the contracts. SpaceX beat them by miles because they've already been taking astronauts places.
Right.
And Boeing's just now ready to do it amidst all of the controversy where doors are falling off and bolts aren't there. And I just, this feels like such a terrible idea to me. Like just, I still remember Challenger, man. Like it just feels like such a terrible idea too. To me. Like I
1986, January.
I swear, I think I was watching it in class. Like I think they had it on in the class. Like when it just like, what do you,
I was at lunch and when I came back, it already happened or it was happening.
I think my class, I think we were watching it live or something. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this just feels like a terrible idea. That's all I tagged it because it feels like a terrible idea. That's all I got really. So yeah. Okay, moving on.
Time for the Weird and Wacky segment.
Abominable Snowman.
He's not an axe murderer.
One of the TAs turned out to
First up in Weird and Wacky, ancient Egyptian pyramids, Sphinx closed to public for tech billionaire's lavish wedding.
As one does. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a billionaire, spend $3 million on a wedding, close down these major public sites, give some private tours of the pyramids to your guests and get married, you know? That just seems like something that's just totally normal. Like, that's just totally normal.
So, yeah. Have you ever been to the pyramids or the Sphinx?
I have not. I would like to go.
Neither have
I. I did learn that they're like right almost in downtown. Cairo, which like, did you realize how close it is to that? Like, it's like,
yeah, I didn't realize they were that
like,
close.
All of the photos of the pyramids are facing away from the city buildings to like make it look like they're out in the middle of nowhere. But no, they're not in the middle of nowhere at all. Like they're like, it's like
they're
it's like
in the
me
middle
driving down the street, seeing Stone Mountain. It's like, oh, there's Stone Mountain. It hasn't moved. Okay, we're good. So, you know,
yeah. I mean, I guess it's good to keep your history close by.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're close to it. It's cool. But yeah, I just thought this was fat. I think one of the dudes is like a WWE star or something. And then he's also a tech mogul and he's marrying,
fitness. So the woman, something Erica Hammond is a former WWE champion and fitness mogul.
Yeah.
And Unker Jain, the guy is the founder and CEO of Built Rewards Loyalty Program. I don't even know what this is.
Me neither. Which just goes to show you that there are tech billionaires out there that can privately shut down the pyramids that you've never heard of. Like, what does that even say about our society? Like, that's what I want to know. Like, that's, and apparently they also hosted a part of it at the, like some Egyptian museum that hasn't even opened to the public yet. Like, it's not even open until later this year to the public. And they rented out this private party or whatever at the museum. It's just
and they paid $200,000 to host a party near a sculpture of Ramses II.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
I wonder what kind of wedding dress she wore. Like, did she wear like some kind of like, you know, Egyptian goddess wedding dress or something? Like that feel like
Cleopatra. Like, I mean, you gotta go with Cleopatra, yeah, right?
And like then whatever
Mark Anthony. Mark
wear.
Anthony. Like, it would be Mark Anthony for him and like and Cleopatra
that's
for
clearly what happened.
Yeah.
Tech wreck.
Time to get your tech wreck.
Tech wreck.
Okay, it is tech wreck time. Adam, what do you have for us this week?
All right, I'm going to recommend a product that my daughter recently bought and says is good. So if it's not, you can blame her. It's called the Cooler Shock Reusable Ice Packs. And so it's this ice pack that you buy. And you fill it up with water yourself. So normally like you buy an ice pack and it's like plastic and it's got like some kind of liquid in it, but it's like fully enclosed and you don't really know what's in there. This one, you like, it's got like a valve and you fill it up with your own water and close the valve. Anyway, she told me that these ice packs stay cold all day long in her hot car. So they seem to work much better than other lunchbox ice packs that I've used in the past. So she's using them. She seems to like them. If you need an ice pack for your summer cooler needs, this might be a great one for you. So give it a shot. Why not?
I mean, the little thing on here says 18 degrees for 48 hours.
That's what it says.
I, have a very hard time believing this.
I mean, the 48 hours part seems very unlikely to me. I feel like if it could be 18 degrees for 12 hours, like that's a win. Like how, like why would you need 48 hours? Like very rarely is that the case.
Yeah. So, but also ice, isn't that 32 degrees when it starts freezing? So maybe it's a little bit, how does it get to 18?
I don't know. I don't ask questions, man. I have no idea. So, Sanjay, what's your tech rate? What do you have for us today?
So I've got a little tech application. This works for Windows and Linux. I'm sorry, you Mac users. But it's from a company called Saffing, I think is how you say it, but it's called Portmaster. And so basically what this does is you install it, and I've got it running, and it'll allow you to let applications connect or not connect to wherever they're going to. So you can install it and it'll show all the machines that it's connecting to over the internet. And you can be allow, not allowed. And I gotta be honest, I am shocked with how many different servers some of these applications reach out to. Like things like Microsoft Office, you know, even Firefox, like the things that it pings out to, it's like, oh, that's interesting. No, don't do that. I will say Firefox is not that bad, but like the Microsoft suite, there are like telemetry servers and things like that that it's reaching out to. And I'm like, no, you don't need to be reporting me using Microsoft Word. No, that's not a thing.
I feel like what you just described for you is the equivalent of like a hypochondriac spending all their time on WebMD, like with every ailment. It's like,
Let me tell you how I use it, Sanjay.
This is a terrible idea.
Let me just tell you how I use it. I installed it when I installed my machine clean. It was the first thing I installed.
Okay.
And so then I have it set to prompt for every connection. Yeah. So then as I install applications, it gives me a list of all the machines it's connecting to. And I go allow, block. So every time I do that with a new application, and then don't need to worry about it. It's all good at that point.
Okay.
Everything works unless something goes haywire. Everything is fine. If the application stops working, that's the first place I go to. But generally, once I've gone through that first route, there's no issues after that. And I don't have to worry about it nannying on me and telling people what I'm doing with the application or anything else like that.
So you haven't seen any limited functionality from it at all? Like you haven't seen an app that's like doesn't quite perform correctly because it's not able to connect to like, it's only connecting to like 10 of the 75 servers it wants to connect to or something like that?
Yeah, no, generally not. I mean, there might be one or two applications, but I can't think of them. But generally, no. Like some of those things that it's connecting to, like telemetry, where it's reporting data back about your usage of the application, that's usually programmed in such a way of like, hey, if this fails, just keep on functioning.
Right.
I don't need my usage to be in some data analysis pool out there of people how do people use our application? You don't need to know that,
You are like every developer's nightmare user, you know?
100%.
Like you're the guy.
100%.
Like, if there's somebody that's going to break it, you're the one that's going to do it. And like, it's this Sanjay on support again. Man, what are we going to do?
100%. But here's the thing is that, and I'm going to give a plug for things that we built, like Together Letters.
Yeah.
That kind of attitude has then infiltrated into the things that we build and deploy. I think they're much nicer, much more friendly. I think I've told this story before. A while ago, somebody signed on for Together Letters and was like, wait a minute, I signed up and now I don't have to do anything. It's not prompting me to do any more stuff. I'm like, yeah, you don't need to do anything until it emails you. Like, we're not going to keep you in the app. We're not going to keep you doing things because that's not where we get our jollies. The point of our app is to connect people and it's not to like waste your time with stuff because we don't like wasting our time. So I wish more of these people would do that kind of thing. And I think, honestly, if more people use tools like Portmaster and blocked access to these kinds of things, developers would start rethinking the way they do things. Like, is this really worth my time to get this feedback of telemetry if 98% of people are not going to allow it to come back? Like, let me spend my time actually building a better product instead of worrying about getting data back.
Yeah, that's right.
So
that's
right. There you go.
All right, Sanjay.
I'll get off my soapbox now
and connect with you.
They can find me on my soapbox sometimes, but they can find me at sanjayparekh.com. What about you, Adam?
Find me at adamjwalker.com. I posted today about some marketing stuff, so go check it out.
Marketing stuff. Do, do, do.